Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. We've been on hiatus. Thought we were back for good about a month, 2 months ago. Had sound problems. So the sound should be on point right now. I have a new laptop and I have my headphones on. So hopefully Cousin Linda can call in. Worldwide listeners, you all have been keeping in touch with me, so definitely call in at 516-595-8255. I hope the sound is superb. I should have run like a private, well, I did do a little private sound test, but you never know until you're out in the universe. So thank you all for tuning in to the show. Again, this is Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, and I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. I have been with Blog Talk Radio since March 21st, 2011, way before then, because some of the awesome shows that influenced me, Lil Flip's Flyboy Radio, Mark Cuban's brother, Brian Cuban's show, Revolution Rant, and one of my favorite erotica authors and filmmakers, Zane show. And I was once a radio personality at Mr. Charles Bever's radio station, WMPR 90.1. But, oh my God, this Sunday show is a show of hot topics. And right now, a hot topic is happening in Austin, Texas. A manhunt is happening. Three people are dead. Doing best to keep up with that news. Not to mention other things that have been happening. So much. Some news they're like news that's been happening in D.C. last night. I just found out about a couple hours ago. But before going any further, must send our condolences to the family of DMX, Black Rob, and oh my God, the royal family, the queen and the family and all of you that are royal watchers like myself. We must send our condolences out regarding the death of Prince Philip also. What a beautiful, beautiful funeral. And I'm funerals get me. And also, wow, what a beautiful, they say it was a downscale funeral, but it was, I imagine if it was not a COVID precautions happening, what type of funeral it would have been. But definitely send a condolence to that. DMX, one of my faves, Black Rob, oh my God. I had been seeing news on the internet that he had been sharing regarding he was homeless and so on, and I don't know the full story, only that Angela Yee had reposted where Mario Winans had posted on his Instagram yesterday. So this is something, and right here we're dealing, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. My name is Jackson, Mississippi. Shout out to Dallas and all the listeners around the world. We are, we have been dealing with the water crisis, as Cousin Linda and I had been discussing, and callers that had called in on the last show where you all could barely hear me, but you could hear Cousin Linda and the listener that called in. Like many other cities, we are dealing with a high homicide rate, what people, label black-on-black crime. And it... In one day, from Friday to Saturday, in 24 hours, we had 6 murders. One was a triple homicide, another at a private home, and another one was a double homicide outside of a popular night establishment. So, wow. Yeah, so I know Jackson's not the only city, but this is crazy. I know I used to tell my late mom, and she knew I felt more comfortable in Dallas, you know, in Dallas. And then when that shooting happened at a BLM Matters, Black Lives Matters event, you know, some of the officers that I knew were murdered, and especially one that always encouraged me to finish studying for my extended license and to always attend events, happened to be murdered. He was proponent of Black Lives Matters. And was murdered at a Black Lives Matter. That, you know, and that was crazy to me right there. But all lives matter. I remember going to an event when I became a producer with the local public access channel, like in 1997. And I remember going to this event that was hosted by Kenny Stoats, Councilman Kenny Stoats. Dick Gregory was a guest. James Evans was one of the hosts, the late Stephanie Parker Weaver. Cornel West was a speaker also, along with Dick Gregory. And they spoke then, 97, about, you know, it's not just, Dick Gregory pointed out, it's not just black on black homicides. People kill where they are. And you know, he brought out the point that it's white on white, it's Asian on Asian, it's Hispanic on Hispanic also. But, you know, but people really are baffled. Even black people, we are baffled by this black on black homicides. It's crazy. Then during a pandemic also, I mean, like right now, you know, we've had how many mass killings within the past 5 weeks? I've seen a report yesterday where many mass killings are problems way more than the ones we've seen on the news. I seen a report the other day, and I hope to have it pulled up and really like read on it. If I can read on it before this show concludes, I will. But I was shocked by how many, I guess, potential like calls where people have, I guess, feared of a mass killing or actual killings that have happened in the past month. And now, all of them made the news. Headline news, international, national news. I was shocked to see that. So I hope you all can hear me. If this is a test show, I am going to share on Facebook and on again. But thank you to those that keep in touch worldwide. Top listeners, U.S., of course, my native country, Canada, India, Pakistan, and South America. Thank you to all listeners, but those are the top 5 listeners right here in the good USA and Canada, India, Pakistan, and South America. Thank you all for your love and your support.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit irs.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Every year, thousands of teens age out of foster care and face life on their own without the love and support of a family. For over 25 years, the Orphan Foundation of America has provided a safety net of support for these vulnerable young people. With OFA's help, these youth graduate from college and trade school, progress to exciting professional careers, and make the leap from foster care to success. Find out how you can support America's foster youth. Log on to orphan.org. That's orphan.org.
So, I'm reading this from NBC News regarding what is breaking news right now. Three dead in a domestic shooting situation in Austin, Texas. Officials say scene remains active. We are still asking residents to shelter in place and report suspicious activity, Austin police said in a tweet. And this is from Callahan Rosenblatt of NBC News affiliate in Austin, Texas. Three people were declared dead at the scene in Austin, Texas, on Sunday afternoon, according to a tweet from the Austin Travis County Emergency Medical Services. While the scene was still active, the shooting was believed to be a domestic situation and that there was no risk to the general public. We are still asking residents to shelter in place and report suspicious activity. So ATCMS tweeted, multiple ATCMS, Austin Fire Info, and Austin Police asked that respond on scene of a declared active attack shooter incident in the 9600 block of Great Hills Trail, advising three patients with GSW injuries, all three with CPR in progress, avoid the area. And then they updated that that was the incident and that deceased on scene pronouncements of three adult patients and it is still an active scene. And it is still an active scene. If you all excuse me. Okay, Cousin Linda is trying to dial in from Dallas. She's in Dallas. This is happening in Austin. Okay, Cousin Linda is trying to call in, so she just wanted to confirm that info. So I am to Austin, this is info. Hello, Cousin Linda.
Hey, Cousin Bethany.
Yay, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I hear you real good.
Good. New laptop, and I have my headphones on. So
okay.
Thank you. Yay, we're back.
Yeah, I made sure that I reserved 3 o'clock because my phone had been ringing off the hook today, and I said I told Beth I was going to tune in to the podcast, but I couldn't find the number, and I don't know, no matter where I write it down, I forget where I put it, and then I had sent text messages and everything. And I said, I'm going to find this number. So I finally found the old text.
Ah!
And so we had responded to me.
Well, thank you. So we have many hot topics. What were you saying?
Oh, I just said you're welcome, I think.
Yes. This is a day of hot topics. And, oh, Cousin Linda, I know you have a lot to talk about regarding travel. I cannot believe some of the travel info I've been getting in the deals. But are you ready to start traveling?
I am. I was watching CBS Sunday morning, and they claim all the rates are going to be real high now that everybody else is traveling.
Oh, is that, wow, because I have been getting information regarding deals that are just crazy. Like, wow.
Yeah, I get a lot of travel information.
I know.
When you get ready to book the dates that you want, a lot of times that information is not, not the information, but the traveling dates are not available.
Right. I notice it's like shopping, like coupon shopping. It's like shopping. You really have to pay attention to the detail to get the good deals.
Yeah, because I get all kinds of stuff from Macy's. I'm some kind of Macy's preferred shopper or whatever. And they send all these coupons, and when I would go into the store, it's like whatever I purchase, oh, that doesn't qualify. It's not eligible. So now when I get the coupons, I just shred them. I said, no point in me trying to use them because I'm sure they're not valid for whatever it is I want to buy.
Right. I get that deal because I'm car shopping, and I get that, too, with dealerships. I thought you meant this. No, I meant that. We meant that. It's just a way of getting people into the establishments, I guess.
They think you'll go ahead and purchase something anyway, but I don't.
Right. But so, the hot topic is going on. Austin, Texas is happening right now, and the manhunt is happening. But I said we need to talk about the travel, and which that is important too, because we need to follow the CDC guidelines still. And many of us that are fully vaccinated, it's important for us to show our credentials that we are fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I think everything is wide open for travel in the United States, including Hawaii, but it seems to be there's some restrictions still in some European cities, and poor Brazil. I don't know what's going on down there. It looks like they're just burying hundreds and hundreds of people a day.
Right, and I have online friends down there that pre-COVID wanted us to come down, because I think I even asked you, have you been to Brazil before? But Brazil,
yes.
I guess, is off. I thought so. I thought
yes,
you've been there before.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back, but the next year when I wanted to go back, the prices to get there were too expensive, and that's how I ended up going to Hong Kong, because Hong Kong was so much cheaper. And then I had wanted to go to Brazil for Carnival, and I just never did get around to it. But I posted a lot of YouTube videos. That Carnival is something else.
That's the real deal.
I have a friend in New Orleans who was just mesmerized by the videos that I posted. And I was like, well, are you going to go maybe next year? And he said, no, because that COVID problem was too bad. He doesn't even think, you know, next year Brazil will be a safe place to visit. Now, I hope I'm not putting a damper on anything for somebody who wanted to go there.
Right.
But I think their situation is at a crisis to me.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. I know you had made plans to go to New York. I know some of my friends that are in. I know some of my friends that are in New York now are still. There's a fellow like very successful Avon. Colleague of mine in New York, all of her work is online, but she stayed sheltered in. Oh, she works in Manhattan, but she sheltered in too. I mean, her Avon business with her family, and another Avon lady told her she was coming up there this week and last week, and she was like, "I'm sheltering in. I'm not mingling with anybody. I'm staying sheltered in."
From what I've been seeing in the media, New York still is not ready to open up like it, you know, normally would be.
Wow.
But, yeah, we had to cancel our trip. My friends and I were going to go in June of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had already made payments and everything. So I was able to get my money back. But my friend Laverne at it has a voucher that she has to use, I think, before October. And she said she was going to use that voucher, to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey. And my friend Mary Ann, who lives in Atlanta, was going to meet us up there. and she had charged hers on a Discover Card account, and she said she didn't have any problems. I think maybe she was out of a $50 processing fee or something like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, she didn't have to pay. Mm-hmm. So right
wow.
now, I'm still a little leery about making travel plans because I don't want to make some plans and then have to back out again.
Right. Yeah, the state mm-hmm. of Mississippi is wide open for those of you that want to come to Mississippi with a new state flag. And Texas is wide open, right?
Yeah, I don't think Texas ever closed.
I don't think so either.
I was looking at some of my memories from last year,
yeah.
and I had posted on there, yeah, because they posted one today, and I was saying that Texas, Dallas looked like it was still wide open. It didn't appear that anything was closed at this point. Because people
right.
were still out. Now, they may have had on masks or whatever, but they were still going to businesses. And I know the liquor stores never did have to shut down for nothing.
Oh, I remember seeing your post about a certain liquor store that you would pass that parking lot stayed full.
Girl, folks would be lined up at lanes out in the street, would have cars waiting to get on the parking lot at Specs to get into the liquor store.
But I think people are drinking more because the state of Mississippi recently have passed up. The lawmakers, just like 2 weeks ago, passed a bill where people can get home delivery from the liquor stores.
And I was really surprised. We have that over here, but I was really surprised at Mississippi.
Right. That even shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, y'all are Bible there, too.
Right, and I remember when I was a teenager, even in Dallas, certain area. You all would mention the dry area and the wet area. You and Diane and Beverly and Tommy and everyone. I'm like dry, wet. And
yeah.
I remember when Dallas had the dry areas and the wet areas, just like here in Mississippi.
They still do. They still have that here, but I think you can get the liquor delivered anywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, as long as there's somebody to deliver it. Yeah, it's just
right.
that certain areas sell alcohol and certain areas don't. Now, in Plano, I don't think you can get liquor because I know if I want to get something other than beer or wine, I have to go down the street to Addison. And then
I love Addison.
The Colony, which is north of me, I think they said you can get alcohol there, but
uh-huh.
Carrollton, Plano, Richardson, I think they're just beer and wine places where you can purchase those items, but you can't purchase liquor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in Rankin County it's like certain restaurants.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand wet and dry over here either because, you know, this is a huge alcohol state. But
right.
Mothers Against Mothers Against Drunk Drivers put some limitations on certain things. But, I guess they just don't want hard liquor sold in certain areas. I don't know if it's about schools or churches or whatever. But if you can buy beer and wine, I don't see why you can't buy liquor. Because alcohol
right.
is alcohol. To me, some of it is a little bit stronger. But you can go right down the street, like I said, to Addison and get hard liquor and bring it back to your residence. So it's just all kind of foreign to me. That still hadn't registered out of all the years I've been here in Texas.
Wow. So you all have the delivery, too. Yeah, that shocked me. I'm like, what? Because at first I thought they were giving permission, you know, to like, you know those mail order wine companies.
Yeah,
like,
I used to get wine delivered.
Right, because there's one that I love, Country something, and with the nice little gift baskets and so on. I remember a time we couldn't even get that in the state of Mississippi. But then one of the lawmakers that was a proponent in signing the bill, he was like, well, it's time people, they believe they're helping people by not getting out on the road. Right. Like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, not getting out on the roads and just receiving their alcohol by delivery.
I remember back in the, I think either late 60s or early 70s, I was having a party, and I
okay.
ordered some party favors that were promoting some brand of alcohol. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Southern Comfort. And I had ordered like a little flag, some napkins, paper plates, and all that with the Southern Comfort logo.
Yeah.
And the company, returned my check and told me due to whatever kind of rules and regulations in the state of Mississippi prohibited them from delivering alcohol-based advertising products in the state of Mississippi. So it was just that limited. And, you know, back then, because I think we got legalized alcohol in 64, and this had to be 69 or 70, but I couldn't even order items with alcohol logos on it. So it shows you how far Mississippi has come.
Right.
But over here, I think the going thing now is you'll be able to get takeaway alcohol like they have in New Orleans. If you don't finish your beer or your whiskey or whatever, you can get it in a plastic cup to go. And I think they're going to do something like that here. Because I know during the pandemic, you could buy takeaway alcohol. Like if you wanted a cocktail, it would already be mixed up in a bottle. And you could purchase it that way and take it with you. But I think now it's like if you don't finish it, and I could be wrong on this, but if you don't finish your wine or whatever, they'll put it in a to-go container. I think they're working on getting that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we first moved over here, they had, open container. You could ride around with your alcohol in your vehicle, just like in Mississippi before we moved. They had open container in Jackson. Mm-hmm. But
sure
I think
did.
Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, I think that was the reason they stopped a lot of that.
Yeah,
because happy hour over here used to be just about all day too, and then they cut. I think happy hour might have been eliminated one while because you used to be able to get for one. Hmm?
I love happy hour. I mean, anybody, you know, we grew up in a family that so believed in socializing and drinking. So, my goodness, after school and work, and I was a student at Hines and Jackson State, and after work. Oh, my God, happy hour. You know what? I see where there are happy hours still happening at the establishments that are open here in the metro area of Jackson.
Yeah, I think they have some happy hour here, happy hours rather, but I don't see a lot about happy hour. It may be a dollar off of certain beers or a certain wine or maybe some cheap margaritas or something. But when we moved to Dallas, I mean, happy hour would be like, you definitely were going to get two for one. Some places, I know one place I used to go to down there close to Oak Lawn, it was four for one. You could get one drink and you could get four. They were kind of watered down, but, and some places I remember seemed like to me, happy hour was starting at 11 o'clock in the morning to 7 in the evening.
Starting at what time in the evening?
11 in the morning to 7.
Oh, the morning. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like if you went in, you know, when they opened up for lunch, you might be able to get two for one alcoholic drinks or maybe beer, draft beer or something like that. You know, it wasn't your premium alcohol.
Wow. I'm trying to think here. I know when I was living in Sherman, Texas, and working at the casino, Oklahoma had a really strict law on Sundays regarding because sometimes people would want real strict law. You know, me living working in Oklahoma, that was weird. Texas, you're right, kind of wide open. And Oklahoma, even at the casino, people would sometimes want a beer with their at the casino with their beverages, and Oklahoma had a law, or to drink wine or as they play. But Oklahoma had a law like 12 o'clock on Sundays. You couldn't drink before 12. And, you know, and they definitely couldn't break that law regarding never knew when the health department would show up, too. You know? So, because yeah, they know you were thinking of resort. And that's one of the best resorts in the country. A lot of people didn't know that. One of the best resorts, like a four diamond outside of Vegas, and they could not serve at a certain time on Sundays. Yeah.
I think they have something like that in Dallas.
When right, and I guess Windstar. I know you went to a Patti LaBelle show at Windstar, and same for Choctaw Casino, the same for Windstar. On Sundays, they have to follow that law.
Yeah, I guess it's a blue law. Now, when we first moved over here, I thought you could buy beer on Sunday mornings or any other morning for that matter, because I remember buying beer in the mornings in Jackson. But I had gone to Tom's Thumb at one Sunday morning and put my little 2 6-packs on the counter, and the cashier took them and put them behind the counter. And I said, well, I was going to get that.
Oh, my goodness.
She said, ma'am, you can't buy alcohol before 12. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So I remember, if I wanted to have some beer on a Sunday or whatever, I made sure I got it on Saturday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I liked to buy maybe one can or whatever, like I could in Jackson, but mm-hmm. I didn't see that over here. You had to buy the whole 6-pack, and I said, well, that's okay. Because I might want a beer Wednesday, I might want another one Friday or something like that. So I was like, well, yeah, I'll just go ahead and buy a 6-pack. And so I just got 2 6-packs that morning. But she told me I couldn't buy the 12 and after. And then they got so bad with the blue laws here where they would start putting locks and chains on the counters. Refrigerated, whatever you call them, refrigerated places. I just can't remember half of the stuff that I wanted to say today. But it was like you're talking about diapers.
Well, look, you're right. I had like an outline of what we will discuss, but it's hot topics. And I'm like, oh, my God, look at every minute there's a hot topic happening. I mean, an active shooter in Austin, Texas? I'm like, oh, my God.
And it's weird. I just met some guys from Austin yesterday. My friend had a birthday party, and I wasn't going because I didn't know how to get to her house. And she told me that her friend would come by and take me over there. So I thought the guys lived in the Dallas area somewhere. So when they picked me up, they were telling me that they lived in Austin, Texas. I said, wow. And y'all came way up here for the birthday party, but they're real, real, real good friends of hers. But they were in there. They live in Austin, so I didn't even know it was an active shooter in Austin. That's going on now.
It's going on now. It's a domestic situation close to a shopping area. You know where Starbucks is. You know it's busy. So all you see three adults dead, and there's a manhunt. They're asking everybody in the area to stay in place, to shelter in place. So I am trying. When I heard from you, I was discussing that. I did recognize the deaths of DMX and another rapper named Black Rob. And you know, I'm a royal watcher, and you know, send condolences to the royal family regarding the loss of Prince Philip. And so then I went straight into what's happening now, and we had so many shootings, Cousin Linda.
What is happening? The topic was going to be Austin. I'm like, well, I wonder what's going on in Austin. And then you started talking about travel. But I've been flipping to news channels, and right now, back on MSNBC, they're talking about how Mississippi hopes to overcome vaccine hesitancy. And they had somebody on this morning talking about Mississippi. The guy was broadcasting.
So Mississippi is the hot topic right now.
Yeah.
On MSNBC, yes, and I love MSNBC. I'm shocked that they're talking about the active shooter that wears a manhunt now. Yo, I'm shocked that they're talking about him.
I can't find anything on an active shooter. I'm going to news channel. I'm going to try CNN.
Yes, and go to – well, I was reading from NBC News when I heard from you, but it popped up on my Facebook page. And that's what happened with me – dealing with George Floyd. I was one of the first social influencers to get that story. And I reshared the raw footage. I guess it was from the girl that filmed it. And I, because Beverly, I told Beverly, you and you two, you all know you can get some news. She can get the crime stories and you get all kind of news. And I remember asking Beverly, that's when we found out we needed to quarantine when we had, you know, a case of COVID in the house. And I remember this popping up in my feed regarding a cop just literally watching a man die on film. And I could not believe this. And I remember asking Beverly, have you seen this? And she hadn't seen it. So it was like new. It popped up on my feed. Something else popped up on my feed that morning. Like a lot of breaking stories. And
yeah.
But I say that to say this. Tomorrow is the verdict, Cousin Linda. What do you think the verdict would be? Do you have any idea? Or you don't want to say?
I'm praying that it will be guilty. However, I have reservations because I don't have that much confidence in the jury. I think
right.
there will be
I
a lot.
I share your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I think there'll be that one holdout. But I just don't understand how anybody could see that as anything other than guilty.
Right. And I can't believe the autopsy report would say anything different than that. But they say, but the autopsy report says blames it on drugs.
I was gonna say I was so tired of listening to stuff about drugs in his system, enlarged
right.
heart, hypertension.
That man would be alive today.
Yes, he would.
That man would be alive today, clean or not. He would be alive today. That's just my thought.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like he was on some a crack or K2 or all these drugs that make you act real crazy.
I know. I pray K2. I be praying K2 don't come here to Jackson because Jackson's too crazy, Cousin Linda.
But, I mean, he was very calm. He wasn't combative. He didn't try to run off. So even if he had drugs in his system, like you say, he didn't deserve what happened. Not at all. And I'm not sure that he knew that was a fake $20 bill. Because it seems
and to
find me,
out,
you know,
then they later found out the $20 bill was really a real $20 bill. That's what I wonder how that clerk. I wonder how that clerk feel really.
Well, you know, he felt bad still thinking that he had. Said something about it being a fake $20 bill. He said he wished, because he broke down on the stand, too, saying that.
Yeah, he did, wished, praying for him.
I said it to me, if you know you're passing a fake bill, I don't think you'd still be slowly walking to your vehicle or whatever. I would think that you'd be trying to get the heck out of Dodge if you know you passed a counterfeit bill. So it's just a lot of stuff that went on with that trial that didn't make sense to me. And there was no justification, none. 9 minutes and 29 seconds on somebody's neck applying pressure. You know, you could kill a horse in that length of time.
Wow. Yes, that was the eyes. When I watched that video and his eyes, the way he looked into that camera phone, it was so horrifying.
Mhm. That's why I said I don't see how anybody on the jury could think that that is anything other than guilty. Now, the defense coming up with this business about, well, it could have been carbon monoxide or whatever exhaust from the tailpipe of the vehicle. And I said, no, it definitely couldn't have been that. That wouldn't have killed him.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Well, I think the country is preparing, but then there's so many riots going on regarding a young man that was murdered in Minneapolis last week. And how did that female officer of 20 years, how did she accidentally kill that young man?
Well, I guess she didn't know the difference between a taser and a gun, which doesn't make sense. But just like Amber Geiger, how could you not know?
That's scary too because she was a training officer. She was training at the time.
26 years, and she's training somebody, and she doesn't know the difference between taser and a gun. The weight of the gun should have alerted
right.
her. Of course, I believe
even,
she knew what she was doing, but I finally pulled up that article about five dead in Austin. I had to go to Yahoo News because I'm not getting anything on TV.
Have it increased from 3 to 5?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me look.
Oh.
Oh, no, it says 3. I'm sorry. Police suspect on the run in fatal shooting of 3 in Texas. I could have sworn I saw 5 somewhere.
Oh, Lord.
But no,
you probably did.
Again. Uh-huh. No,
wow.
It's 3. Yeah, I looked at it wrong.
But
it's 3.
It's a manhunt. It's a manhunt, and they're asking people to lock their doors and shelter in. So I know the community would be glad when they find him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what type of domestic situation.
Well, you see now where they're proposing that you can have a license to carry a weapon with no training, no permit. You can just carry your weapon. You know, now you have to go get the training. You have to go to that class and show that you know how to operate the weapon or gun, and you can at least aim and shoot. Supposed to be accurately, but I think if you can just point and shoot, that's good enough. But now it's just going to be you can carry your gun out in the open. No permit needed.
Oh. Wow. People carry their guns out in the open here. They have their guns on their hips like it's nobody's business.
But do they have to have a permit?
I think they have to, but I wonder how many do.
But see here, they have a proposal where you won't have to have a permit. If you have a gun, you can just carry it on your hip or wherever. That's the thing.
Wow.
You said at least you have to go get the license, you know, take that class.
Right.
But it wasn't bad in the Wild Wild West. Jesse James and Wider and Billy the Kid and all the other folks, I don't think it was that bad back then like it is now.
Wow, this is crazy. And Jackson's homicide, you know, is off the roof, Cousin Linda. I know other cities are dealing with the same situation, but we had 6 homicides within 24 hours on Friday and Saturday. A triple homicide at a private home. A young lady went to go visit her boyfriend in South Jackson. He didn't come to the door. She busted the door open, found her boyfriend and 2 others dead, and the person locked the door, was kindly enough to lock the door so nobody could get in the house. That's what the police officer said. It was like, it wasn't that dirty. He locked the door, whoever did it, you know, and left. And
what caused the delay in somebody finding the bodies, probably. That's what he wanted. I don't think that was out of kindness. You wouldn't kill people if you were.
And the Popular Patrick's Place, 2 young men murdered outside of that nightclub establishment right there at Northside Drive and Bailey Avenue. But
yeah, that's close.
Yes. You know the well. Yes. Exactly. Northside Drive, Hanging Moss, the area that's known as like maybe one of the most affluent areas in the city. I mean,
yeah,
I remember.
That was the key's name.
Yeah. Right. Like very deep South Jackson and very deep North Jackson were like the affluent areas of the city. Now, oh my God, crime is everywhere. I remember working as a poll manager last year at Mega Everest Fire Station close to, Bel Air and O'Bannon and on Sunset, you know, right there. They're getting ready to get a very state-of-the-art fire station now. But I remember talking to one of the captains, and I asked him where were the hot spots in the city. He said Jackson is the hot spot.
Thank you.
Is the hot spot, Miss Williams. He's like, there's no good and bad parts of Jackson. Look, even the Eastover, you know, neighborhoods, you know, the really high-end upscale neighborhoods. He said Jackson is the hot spot, not certain areas anymore. And that's so sad because Jackson is so beautiful. And then it hurts me. People like you, Cousin Linda, marched in the civil rights movement for the city to just progress and just be what it can be. That is just crazy.
I remember back in the 90s when everybody was trying to get me to move back to Jackson, and I told them I didn't want to move back because of crime, and they were saying crime is everywhere, and I said that's true. Even Dallas has a lot of crime in certain areas.
I feel more comfortable there than here.
Yeah, but like I was saying,
what were you saying?
I was saying that the Jackson criminals did not discriminate. I said in certain areas of Dallas, I don't fear. You know, maybe I should be a little bit more alert now. I said, but I don't feel like if I walk outside my door, somebody's going to shoot me. I said, in Jackson, y'all criminals just don't discriminate. You have all over Jackson crime, whereas in Dallas, like I said, it's pretty specific areas where certain high crimes, you know, are prone to happen. But in Jackson, because I remember when they were telling me that Eastover had crime, and I said, Eastover crime?
And,
crime.
Potholes, too, like the other part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Potholes, too. Because, you know, when I'm campaigning when I'm campaigning and working for these different agencies, I go in deep into the beautiful Eastover where the beautiful castles and mansions are, and the Belhaven area, and they have the potholes, too. Goodness.
I don't ever hear anybody talk about Woodland Hills in Jackson, which is a very affluent, very nice area.
I love Woodland Hills. Yeah, I have friends with the Crossroads Film Festival and other friends that live in Woodland Hills. I thought when Deion Sanders became the coach for Jackson State, I thought he was going to end up getting a house in Woodland Hills or Eastover, especially Woodland Hills, because I've seen a few houses that look like him. They look like, that's a house that Deion could get. I thought he would move there, but he moved to Madison instead.
Very disappointed. I feel like if you're going to work for Jackson State, you ought to at least be in Jackson.
And so I thought, he probably would move to Woodland Hills. And it's right there in Fondren. You know, Fondren's like its own little town. It reminds me of Deep Elm.
Yeah.
So, I thought he was – I was shocked. Well, my friends told me. Some of my friends picked him up and all that.
Instead of Madison County, the enemy territory, because I just found out that Mary Hawkins Butler got reelected.
And Amazon is opening a facility, like right now. They're in the process of opening a major facility in Madison. Yeah, she's been like mayor for like 20-something years. Madison is like, and now it's like one of the top, cities in the country.
But it's still known to not want blacks up there. That's my problem.
Right.
You know, she makes no secret of her feelings about black people.
She's friendly to me. She's friendly to me, but I don't live in Madison. But she's friendly to me regarding, you know, my aspirations in politics, but
you know Madison, because a lot of people were saying how they got stopped in Madison just driving while black.
Right. You know, even in Dallas, my friend Big Mike, you probably hear me talk about it, lives in Duncanville, he and his family. And I know once when I was, when I forgot your smokes that year, 2013, he let me use his car. Remember one of my friends let me use his car? And I stayed and I, what is it, the Campbell Center? Hilton, not the Hilton, the,
yeah,
the two gold buildings.
Center,
you know
what
my,
the
Doubletree. Yeah, the Doubletree. Yeah,
okay.
That Doubletree. Yeah, because you know I'm a Dallas fan. Yeah, because you know I'm a Dallas fan, and so when I forgot your smokes, that's where I stayed. I, you know, you and I, it was a good deal, and so I used his car so to do things and go to Ogle School. I was trying to get to Ogle School in Arlington, but he ended up having to drive me there. But I told him the places that I had driven through in the neighborhoods nearby, which exclusive neighborhoods are near that hotel. And he said, "You crazy? You drove my car through those neighborhoods. Now my car is a target. Law enforcement." This was 2013. I didn't know anything about it. He was like, "Bethany, don't you know about, what is it, Colin? What you just said, DWB. He said, "Don't you know about
driving
DWB?
Driving while I'm black."
Right. And I'm like, what did I do wrong, Mike? Big Mike. What did I do wrong? He was like, my car is targeted now. You drove my car through those exclusive neighborhoods. DWB.
Well, when I first.
I'm like, oh, my. I'm like, those are neighborhoods. But Cousin Linda, those are neighborhoods that I've known since my childhood, since I was a teenager. You and Diane, Tommy. Those are streets and roads that I know.
Well,
I didn't know it was against the law.
When I first moved here, and I'd be telling people how I was driving on Preston Road, because
right.
I knew Preston Road. You know,
right.
I knew that would take me home. If I ever got lost, I knew if I got on Preston Road, I could get back home. It would take me
right.
to Northwest Highway.
Exactly.
And so, and I got lost one day. I found Mockingbird Lane. I was on the tollway. And I exited
yes.
Mockingbird Lane, and I asked the lady at the toll booth, how did I get to Preston Road? Well, of course, she didn't know. So I got back out on the toll road, and I finally saw Preston Road exit. So I got on Preston and came home, and I was telling somebody at work, you know, I got lost again. And I finally got on Preston Road, and I got home. You drove on Preston Road?
Preston Road,
yes. And they told me if you were a black man, you definitely did not drive on Preston Road. And I
right.
said, now, coming from Jackson, Mississippi, I don't think we had any streets that we could not drive on.
Right,
and
not even Ramon Road back in the day.
I was speeding up and down Preston Road. I wanted to get stopped by the police. Because I wanted them to tell me how to get home. I was like, I don't
exactly.
even take a citation. You know, they can give me a ticket. Just tell me how to get home, how to get to Preston Road so I can. I mean, I was on Preston Road, but just tell me how to get to Northwest Highway. Am I going to go this way or that way? And I said, I was speeding and nobody stopped me. And they were like, I don't
right.
know why you didn't get stopped. Now, true, I had a new car, but it was just an Oldsmobile Cutlass. And I'm sure they knew I was black, but
right.
nobody. I've never had a problem on Preston Road. I have gotten
right.
stopped in Dallas, but I was violating whatever. But
right.
I have to admit, these Dallas police officers were very nice because I was speeding down Greenville Avenue one morning. I was going to work.
Yes.
And up on Forest Lane, the speed limit was 40. And a little bit further south, the speed limit was 35. Well, by the time you get down there on lower Greenville, the speed limit was 30. And out of all those times I had driven down Greenville Avenue, I never knew that the speed limit changed. I thought it was 40 all the way down there. So I was doing 40 in the 30 miles zone. And when the police pulled me over, he asked me if I knew that I was speeding. And I said, no, sir. I said, the speed limit is 40. And I was doing 40. And he said, no, the speed limit is 30. And I was,
oh, my
I was
goodness.
Really taken aback. So I told him, I said, well, I didn't know I was speeding, and I'm on my way to work, and I said, I'm going to be late for work, and I showed him my badge. I said, I'm a telephone operator, and I need to get to work. And so he told me to just slow it down and let me go. And I ran a red light one time on Forest Lane.
Yes.
Because I had to be at work at 6, and I'd always leave home at 5.
Right.
And this red light, for some strange reason, on Forest Lane would not turn, I mean, wouldn't change so I could make a left turn.
Oh,
and I'd
no.
sit. Yeah, I'd sit there forever. And I'd back up, you know, go back and forth trying to make the light change, and it wouldn't. So I'd just go ahead and make a left turn, run the light.
Right.
And this particular morning when the officer pulled me over, he said, do you know what you did? I said, yes, sir, officer, sir. I always put that officer, sir, on there.
Right.
I said, I ran the red light. And he said, you know you ran the red light. So I explained to him what happened. I said, this light will not turn green, and I have to be at work on time. I can't be late. And he told me, he said, well, I'm going to let you go. He said, because you could be in an accident, but we want you to be safe out here. And he said, you know, just promise me you won't run the red light anymore. I said, but officer, that light will not turn green. And he told me, just promise him I wasn't going to run the red light anymore. And I said, okay, I was saying anything to keep from getting a ticket and let me get to work on time. And so what I had to start doing was make a right turn on Greenville Avenue. And you remember where they used to have Zach's at Forest Lane and Greenville Avenue? I think it was Greenville. Yeah, it was Zach's down there.
Yes. So
kind of like World Market. Yeah, I used to have to make a right turn, act like I was going to make a left turn up in Zach's and go back on Greenville Avenue where that light was green.
Uh-huh.
But it never would turn green in the morning, not when I was going to work. So I said, well, I told him I wasn't going to run the light no more, so I just make a right turn, make a turn like I'm going up in here. Mm-hmm.
As long as you waited, and then when you turn, then they show up like a Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. But like I said, I had been doing it for months.
Right.
And I told him that, I'm on my way to work. I can't be late, and I cannot sit here and wait for that light to change when it doesn't change.
Right. And he probably would have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But he was very nice. But now I've gotten stopped in Plano and Carrollton, and these officers up here, they're not very nice.
Oh,
you
really?
You know, they're right. Yeah, I wasn't even guilty. I was accused of running red lights and speeding, and I know I wasn't. But I didn't argue with them. I just let them go ahead and give me the citation, and I went to driving school, you know, so I wouldn't have to pay the ticket.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I've been in trouble with, citations. And I'm like you. I'm very honest. You know, I remember Waller was my traffic judge one time for accident. My brakes just didn't work one day on that, what is that, Claiborne next to Provine. That's when I had that Camaro, and I put on my brakes, but the car eased on past the stop sign or that red light, and lo and behold, JPD was right there. And so when it was court time, I was honest. He was like, how do you plead? I said, I plead guilty with an explanation, though. You know? And I can't, mm-hmm. and I was on his, yeah, and I can't, yeah. And so I had campaigned for him when he was attempting to become governor. And I think he remembered that, too, many, many years ago. Yeah, but I'm like, yes, I'm guilty, but it's an explanation to why. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you have to plead it?
I got a discount, half. I think it was half off.
Mm.
And I think I did, like you, I had to go to that class.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to that class, that traffic class. And I thought the officers in Carrollton were kind in your area, in that area
of
the Dallas. Well,
I had one that was kind of female. That was when I had that car accident back in January of 2016, where this crazy idiot ran into me.
Oh,
and,
no.
It was a female officer, and she wasn't very friendly at first.
Uh-huh.
Because she kept calling me ma'am, and she said, I need to see your application. And I just opened up my billfold. She said, ma'am, you need to take it out. So I took my driver's license out, And she asked me what happened, and I told her, and she told me to, you know, just stand aside and wait. And then she went over there and asked that lunatic that hit me what happened. And so his story jived with mine. She came back and told me, she said, he said the same thing you said. And I said, well, why did he pull out in front of me like that? She said, he said he didn't want to miss his exit. He didn't want to miss
he'd rather get in a wreck. You shut that door, please.
Yeah, she said,
he preferred to get in a wreck. But that's what she and I were saying.
I said, so he couldn't go down to the next street and make a left turn. He had to cross two lanes to come over and hit me and wreck my vehicle, tore his up, just tore his vehicle up, and knocked him probably about 15 or 20 feet behind me. And so she started getting nicer. And so I told her I had called AAA. And it looked like they weren't ever going to get a tow truck out there. And so she told me, she said, I can't wait any longer. She said, we holding up traffic, and I got to get this traffic moving. And I'm going to call and have your vehicle towed. And I said, but they're going to take it to the pound or wherever they take your vehicle. And I told her that I wanted my car towed to Auto King or whatever it's called. And she said, well, yeah, they, you know, she could have it towed there. And I said, but I don't have a way home. I need a ride home. And she asked me if I could call somebody. And so I said, there's nobody I can call. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get home. She said, I'll take it. She said, I'll take you home. I said, you will. And she said, yeah, get in my vehicle. I'll take you home. So on the way, she brought me home, and we were just talking, you know, like we were old friends. She was very, very nice and everything. And I hate I didn't call and give her a comment. I mean, you call her superior or whatever and give a commendation, because she was very, very nice. She said afterwards, you know, she said her name was Officer Maher, a little bitty blonde lady.
So you remember her. Shout out to you, Officer.
Officer Maher of the Carlton Police Department.
I wonder if she's still with the force or retired now.
Well, she was quite young, so she's probably still with the force.
Right, she's probably like captain.
She's still young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
young, before,
I
when you
was so grateful for her bringing me home.
Wow. Right. When you were contacting me, I was complimenting Dallas PD. Jackson PD is amazing, but PD, I know there are some rotten apples everywhere, but they're on point. They're on point. They're kind.
I knew
a couple of the officers that were murdered at that Black Lives Matter, and Brent Thompson was one. And I almost text messaged him. I was in Sherman when that happened, and I almost text messaged him to see what happened. And Holy Spirit, that voice within said, don't text message, Google first. When I Googled, he was one of the officers murdered. And what was so weird, because he was a proponent of Black Lives Matters, and encouraged me, you finish and get that esthetician license and all that. You know, he was always so encouraging. But whenever I'm around officers, in Dallas, they are just so kind and supportive. And then when you mentioned that about character, so I'm glad you remembered her name. So someone listening will tell her. So they were talking about you. They were talking about you. Right.
Yeah,
but
it's probably not very, very many times when she has to take somebody home.
Right. And when I lived in Grayson County, north of McKinney and Plano, those of you familiar with the Tesoma area, their police department in Sherman, Texas, and Denison in the Tesoma area, they were on point. So I bet not ever hear of any, you know, police brutality stories, you guys and ladies, because they were always so kind, you know. Because I think there's a situation going on in McKinney regarding something, but I'm like, wait a second, not McKinney. So,
well,
you know.
Yeah, I think, wasn't it McKinney where that officer beat that little 14-year-old girl down?
Right.
Where he knocked her to the ground and was punching her in the face?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'll hold my peace on McKinney since you say they're nice, but that wasn't nice.
That wasn't nice, yeah. Where I was in Grayson County in Sherman. But, yeah, that happened, like, when I was in Sherman, I think, that situation in McKinney. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And we, yeah. So the Crump, the attorney Crump, you know, he's based in Jackson. I think he has opened an office in Nashville now, but I know these bad apples, they keep him busy. It seems like every day he's
Benjamin
in a whole other city with a whole other family.
Yeah, Benjamin Crump is based in Dallas?
He's based
in
Jackson.
Jackson.
Yes.
I didn't know
right, but
that.
He stayed busy, though, so he's never in Jackson.
He stayed very busy.
Right, and that's sad, too.
He's the Johnny Cochran of today.
Right. Follow his Facebook page.
Johnny Cochran had offices everywhere, huh?
Yeah, follow. He might be one of his proteges because, you know, Cochran did open a law firm here. He might be one of his proteges because you're right. He's on point.
Mm-hmm.
Follow his Facebook page because he posts stories that aren't even on the news, that don't even make the news. He posts stories on his Facebook page that are just shocking.
Okay. I thought he was from Florida because the first time I heard of him was Trayvon Martin.
Right.
I assumed that he was a Florida attorney, and then he started popping up all over the country, and I said, well, he's probably not licensed to practice in all those states. He's just probably, an advisor to the other attorneys there?
Yeah. I noticed that with the – I noticed that with – how do you pronounce the gentleman's name in Dallas? The Amber murder, Bijan.
Botham Jean.
Yeah, I noticed he was on that case too, but he wasn't the lead. So you're right. In certain states, certain ones can't be the lead attorney because of their license.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably an advisor to them.
Right.
To the attorney. But yeah, he ought to be a quintillionaire by now, especially after
right.
the judgment in George Floyd case, $27 million settlement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because some attorneys charge 40% of the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, you know, a third, 33 1/3, and they went up to 40%.
Yes.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And oh my goodness, so many cases to follow. They're turning all of us into some type of legal professional. They're legal. Enthusiasts, wow, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when he wrote Trevon's case, he was based in Jackson. He was flying back and forth. And I think he worked on Michael Brown. I think he was on that Michael Brown case, too.
Breonna Taylor.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even know about her case until – did you know about her case before George Floyd? Because I didn't even know about her until George Floyd case.
Yeah, you know, they shot her in her house.
Right.
In her apartment.
But I had not heard of her case until George Floyd case. And her case happened in, like March.
Mm-hmm. It was all over the news.
Right. There was so much going on in Jackson, too. Yeah.
Because I know I go to all of your TV stations there, except
right.
Fox. I forget to look up the Fox station because they have more news, well, on the crime and stuff than the
right.
three other networks. But, yeah, a lot of times I'll say, let me check out and see what's going on in Jackson.
I know. But
sometimes
you're the first to tell me. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But,
and then
yeah.
I'll call A. Mildred and we'll talk about the crime. And she took
yes.
with me, she said she entered her golden years as working in her rose garden and sitting
right.
out on the patio. But she said she dare not do that now.
Right. Because she have a beautiful yard. Yes, I was looking at a picture of she and Mom in the backyard. What was that she had in the backyard, a big banana tree?
I don't know. I know she had hydrangea plants. I didn't know she
right.
had a banana tree.
I need to send you the picture. And if she don't mind, I'll post it. Sometimes I post a picture of she and I on Grandmama and Granddad's porch. But I'll show you that picture that I have of she and Mom. And it's a big plant or tree behind them in the corner of her backyard. And I thought it was maybe called a banana tree because it's like a tropical plant, but it's really large.
But I didn't know about the banana tree.
It might not be there, but it's in that family. When I show you the picture, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And if I put it on Facebook, I'm sure some of our Facebook friends will say, that's a blank, blank. But it's very tropical looking.
I am not well versed in the plant family. I was when Grandmother Maddie was alive, because I think she knew every flower that bloomed, because she had quite a few flowers in the yard. But
right.
After she passed, I kind of lost my interest in plants, because she used to be out in the yard in the, you know, nice weather all the
right.
time. She and Miss Ann, I don't think you got to meet Miss Ann, so she might have been dead by the time you came along.
But I had Mrs. Grail. But I had Mrs. Grail, Sarah Riley's grandmama.
Okay.
Who loved
okay.
flowers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember.
But Miss Ann, where does she live next to Grandma?
Miss Inge lived across the street from
okay, that's what
Grandma.
I thought. That, okay.
Mm-hmm. The White House on the corner.
Right.
Directly in front of us. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Miss Inge. Mm-hmm. And she would be out in her yard, I don't know, getting rid of weeds and planting flowers or whatever.
But that's what?
I think that's what Aunt Mildred had envisioned for herself
right.
in her golden years. Mm-hmm. But she said now she just stays up in the house with the crime. Don't want to
right.
come out. I said, I can't blame you.
We have a neighbor at the end of our street her yard reminds me of your mother's yard. I must tell her, because I always compliment her on her yard, and she finally got yard of the month last summer. She has a large cactus area at the end of the driveway like your mom used to have. I love that cactus area.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your mother had the best plants and yard to me. It was so beautiful. And how did I end up in the cactus bush sometimes? I don't know.
Say, I used to be scared driving up in the driveway and one of them cactus thorns was going to get me.
Right.
One while the cactus got kind of big. I told her, you need to kind of cut him down because I'm scared of them big thorns. But every now
right.
and then, yeah, I'm like you. I'd be kind of scared of that cactus plant.
Right. And
he
I don't know how.
Big.
I would be scared of them. And then how did I end up in them sometimes? Mom,
hey,
I'm running.
Maybe it was a vehicle. It might have been two vehicles in front of you in the driveway.
Oh.
And you ended up back there by that cactus garden.
Right.
Maybe that was it.
Because I already knew. But as beautiful as they are, they will get you.
Definitely. Because I'm afraid of, you know, little tiny cactuses. Because
right.
I think I had gotten stuck by one early on in life, and I was always afraid of them.
This is a 60-minute show, so we probably be running out of time soon. So this has been an enjoyable conversation. We had a caller right after your call, but they hung up. So
what'd you
say, Cousin
Liz? We wouldn't let them in to say anything.
Well, they didn't give us enough time because I tried to recognize as soon as possible. And, yeah, maybe they felt that way. But we have to complete a sentence and then connect them.
mm-hmm.
Right. So next Sunday, you all join us at 3 o'clock. We are working on keeping the show consistent on Sundays. I had a favorite show on Sundays as growing up. Tony Brown's Journal on PBS. Cousin
oh,
Liz.
I loved it.
Well, every Sunday at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Every Sunday at 1 o'clock. Oh, my God.
I don't remember what time we got it, but I know I was watching it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we used to get it on PBS I think, I don't know if it was on BET or whatever, but I know I watched it on PBS.
Yes, PBS. PBS every Sunday mm-hmm. at 1. Had to watch mm-hmm. Tony Brown. So you mm-hmm. all catch us every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Just like Tony Brown's journal. Yes.
Okay, so closing out the show now?
Well, I just wanted to say we had... It was scheduled for 60 minutes. We started at 3. It's 4:16 now. We might have like 10 more minutes. So we can start winding down. What else? The floor is yours. What else would you like to speak on?
Well, you mentioned the funeral of Prince Philip. I thought it was very somber, very nice.
Right.
And I'm glad to see Harry and Prince William speaking. You know, I saw online where they had conversations, so I hope they have settled their differences.
Right. I heard that the Duchess started the conversation. She broke the ice. I wonder, what did she say?
Which Duchess? William's wife?
Yes. Yes. I wonder, how did she break the ice for them to start, you know, talking? I heard a couple hours before we went on air that she was the one to break the ice and start the, you know, the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad whoever started it, I'm glad that they were able to at least have some conversation.
Right.
Because it's terrible. It's just the two of them.
Right.
And you think that they would try to get along regardless of who's breaking away from the family and who's interviewing whom. Like they said, blood is thicker than water, so you might want to try and stay in contact with your brother.
Right.
You know, because we came from a close-knit family. You know how our aunts and uncles all loved each other.
Right.
And I would hear people talking about how they weren't speaking to certain family members, and I said, well, I certainly can't say that about our family.
Right.
My mother her brothers and sisters got along extremely well.
Right, and I miss all those gatherings. But I guess times change, but I wish we could continue some of those traditions. I know some parts of the family do, but not that mm-hmm. COVID have reared its ugly head, like, okay, will they ever happen again, you know?
Yeah, but, speaking of COVID, did you have any side effects from your shot?
The first one I didn't. The second one I did get the chills. But I didn't get any of the headaches or the swelling under the arms, because the medical professionals that administered the shot on me from St. Dominic, they even said that they experienced one or two. She and her husband experienced like a knot under their arms or dizziness, but I felt relaxed. I felt relaxed after the first one, like I've been drinking wine or something.
I was very, very sleepy after the first one.
Right, and that's what I meant.
Get home, get in the bed.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. I felt really relaxed.
Mhm. The second one, I felt the same way. I was just really, really sleepy. But I noticed I had an itch where I had the shot. And my Band-Aid didn't fall off till about 6 days later. And I noticed I had this white patchy looking stuff. Uh-huh. And so at first I just didn't put anything on it. And I said, well, this isn't normal. So I started putting vitamin E on it.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine told me to put some Neosporin on it. And I said, yeah, I hadn't thought about Neosporin, so I might go buy some of that tomorrow. Normally I don't run out of stuff, but
right.
I had run out of Neosporin. So, but other than that, I didn't have that. And I was going to ask if you know Cousin Donald Fate Russell. He always bring Uncle James up to Jackson, Cousin Don from
Fate?
Rankin County. Yeah,
Cousin Fate.
Yeah, him. He likes to be known as Don.
Oh, well, I still
yeah.
call him Faith. But thank you. I heard that. And his sister named Bobby. Because his sister is the one that's usually over there for family reunion. Yeah.
Okay. Well, him, Fate. So anyway, but he was telling me, this was way before I got my shot, he was telling me that his doctor had told him he was going to have flu-like symptoms, he was going to have aches and pains and this and that and the other. He said he had every symptom on the first shot
no.
and the second. And that made
no
me kind
way.
Of worried about, yeah, he said he had horrible side effects. And I was reluctant to get the shots. You know, I was scared I was going to have to go through that. But thank goodness I didn't.
Mm-hmm. I became very thirsty. I drink a lot of water, and I really and they do remind you, drink a lot of water. But I mm-hmm. didn't know I became more thirstier than before. Yeah. Like, wait a second, because I drink a lot of water anyway.
Yeah, I do too, so I don't know if I was any thirstier.
Yeah.
But I know I was sleeping. That was some of the best sleep I had in a long time.
Right. Well, tell Cousin Donald, Fate, that I said hello. Well, I'm glad you let me know, because I would be saying, Cousin Fate. But I know his sister usually planned the reunions, and I don't even think she might contact you soon about the reunions. I haven't been to a reunion. Oh, my God. And then we lost a cousin. No. We lost cousin Mary Elizabeth, you know, a couple months ago. Well, about a month ago. Yeah.
You know,
so
when I
mailed your Christmas card, I mailed you, Cousin Mary, and Tommy Lee cards at the same time. And I wrote a nice note in there, because Mom and I, we used to always love to get their cards. And we hadn't gotten a card in a few years. And so I'm like, we always were excited whenever we received your cards, you know. So, wow. So I was heartbroken to hear about her passing. And I know you she and Diane were very close.
Yeah, when we were growing up.
Yeah, when you were growing up, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know, I went to visit her in San Francisco. Well, she lived in Foster City, which was just a little south of San Francisco. Yeah,
right.
I went out there to visit. And I have pictures. And what's so killing, I had posted those pictures. You know how Facebook shows your memory?
I remembered you posted a couple of pictures last summer, Foster City.
Mm-hmm. Well, I reposted them this year, right before she passed.
Right. Wow.
And I had I knew she had been ill over the years, but we had lost contact because when she moved to Sarasota, I don't think she sent me her address when they moved to Sarasota.
Oh, so Mom and I always kept in touch with them. And then when Mother passed away, mm-hmm. I don't think I received a card or anything from them. So I sent her a card the same day I sent your card. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying, I didn't know she had been sick. Michael and I used to be really close, and I hadn't been in touch with him. We hadn't been in touch with one another. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you had reposted the pictures right before. Wow.
Mm-hmm, I sure did. Mm-hmm. It was several of them. Cause she took me over to Sausalito.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, because I had never even heard of Sausalito until I saw the movie Play Misty for Me.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, Donald Mills, I think, had a studio or art studio or something in Sausalito.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then when I went to visit Mary, she wanted to know if I wanted to go over there, and I told her I sure did. And she took me over there. I think she bought some jewelry. I didn't buy anything, but I think she bought some jewelry.
Wow. And you took your pictures. Mm-hmm. Yay. Uh-huh.
Yep. And I was looking back at some of my other trips, and I was saying I wish I had taken more pictures. But
And
I have a lot of them. I got some pictures here somewhere packed down from some travels. I didn't know where they are, than a man in the moon.
Right. Ryan Seacrest and Kelly was talking about that. How we always plan to do something with our pictures and have boxes mm-hmm. and piles of pictures. And now with all this new technology, what we can do and all that, and how we always make plans to do something.
Well, yeah, I had gotten on Instagram to post pictures, but I didn't like Instagram. I don't know. I couldn't get the hang of it. So I just stick to Facebook. but I know people are talking about it. I got 200,000 followers.
You
were
once
Instagram.
On Twitter, but you're on Twitter, but you're on Twitter with the news.
Well, I'm on Twitter because when Twitter first came out, I joined the bandwagon. I think I was one of them first, you know, waves of folks that got on Twitter. I don't know how to tweet. All I know how to do is retweet.
Right.
And they send me highlights of stuff evidently that I signed up for, and I'll read those things. But as far as, you know, like Donald Trump was sending a tweet every 2 seconds, I don't know how to do that. I stick a little hashtag or something out there, and I don't know what happens.
He needs to teach a tweet class. Really, that man, oh, my God.
He really did. Because every time you look around, Donald Trump just tweeted so-and-so. And so I'm like, does
and
he
then,
have time to
and
do
and then they banned. I think he's back on Instagram. When I got on Instagram this morning, he was like the first person to pop up on my page. And you just brought it to my attention because he was banned from Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But a verified page, that was a verified page, popped up this morning. So he's back on Instagram. But I know he's supposed to be creating his own social platform, so I don't know what that's going to be about.
but
you
go,
make a good point. How did he tweet so much?
He was too busy tweeting. He couldn't run the country.
Obama used to tweet just a little bit, but I thought they were supposed to be strict about the president's tweeting. That's why I was like, wait a second.
Did he follow any rules of the presidency? I don't think so.
Right.
So why he obeyed?
I'm glad we can laugh about it now, because even I, because you're right, a Republican and a Trump supporter. But look, I shocked Beverly. I was so glad. I was like, okay. I was so glad when it was time. I was like, okay, now we can have some peace. I was like, now we can have some peace. And I must come. Oh, before we go, I must commend Biden and Harris. You all are doing a great job.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Right, they are. They're doing a great job. To me, I mean, that's not easy being a president and a vice president. Remember when I was a little girl, I thought I wanted to be like a president or a vice president. I'll do with being a mayor or a state lawmaker or something like that. That is a big job to take.
It is, because I'm sure Lori Lightfoot didn't know what she was getting into when she became
my God.
I would not want to be mayor of Chicago and any of these huge cities where they have this crime.
Right. Congratulations to Lumumba, too, because I did vote for him. And so congratulations.
And I was about to get on Lumumba. I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't him during the water crisis in Jackson.
Oh, my God. Yes. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. And thank God we have a mayor that's an attorney, too. Yeah.
Y'all made national news every day, all day, every night. Jackson, Mississippi.
And then you tell me we making news now when I thought they were talking about the shooter in Austin. And don't be surprised when you see we're on the news regarding these homicides.
Yeah,
that's sad.
My problem with Jackson is it doesn't have enough residents nor area.
Thank you, Cousin Linda. If I said that, people would get on me. Thank you. That's what I see. I see we need to have a plan to attract not just tourism, but attract people to move within the city limits. We need to do our best to help create jobs and create, and Jackson need to make the news like Madison. Have the most six-figure income households now. You know, something like that. We need good news about economics and money.
But people aren't going. You know, corporations, when they get ready to locate, they're not going to say, "Well, I think I'll put a plant or whatever in Jackson, Mississippi,"
right?
Because they have great schools. They have great taxes, the infrastructure is good.
Right.
So, no, they're not going to relocate there or build anything there. And that's my problem with Jackson is, can you attract somebody? I mean, if I'm going to pack up and move, I'm not looking at, oh, I think I'll move to Jackson, Mississippi. High crime, low job.
I mentioned the cousin, I mentioned to my brother-in-law, my mentor, Tommy, like, well, you know, expand. Even Mom and I were talking about expanding the store to the Jackson. And Tommy's like, you know, not only just in the Dallas area, open another store, but I'll bring one here. And Tommy's like, oh, my goodness, Bethany, it just doesn't make economical sense, you know?
It's not business friendly or conducive to attracting businesses.
Right.
Like, number one, the crime is just terrible. So
right.
You want to live where it's safe. And then look at some of those streets, you know, where they've torn down abandoned houses are still up and trees and stuff are growing through the houses. So you have very few neighborhoods that anybody would want to move to, and not everybody can afford to live in Eastover or Woodland Hills or Fondren.
Right.
Or I hear Woodley is still nice.
Yes,
but,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Got the butt in it, yeah.
Yeah, but Woodley is close to Hanging Moss, Northside Drive.
Yeah.
Poor Popeyes and Wendy's,
and you're right, and that's been the intersection where a lot of crime has been happening. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That intersection, you see, it's been like all kind of wrecks and murders and you name it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kroger and Walgreens wised up years ago. They moved, about 10 or 12 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Kroger, they just closed that one, and they upgraded the Kroger on 55. And then the Walgreens Walgreens moved across from the old McRae's Meadowbrook Shopping Center building.
Mm-hmm. And remember how prestigious all that used to be? Because if you went to Meadowbrook, you were saying something.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Meadowbrook Shopping Center, McRae's, yes.
I went to McRae's in Meadowbrook because, you know, they had downtown Westland Plaza.
Right.
But if you went to Meadowbrook, oh, that was really saying something.
Right. I remember the days. I loved it when Mom would take me shopping to McRae's. That you mentioned Westland Plaza. Believe it or not, Westland Plaza is still a nice shopping center.
I know. It is still nice.
I'm like, okay. Why can't the other areas do the same?
My friend who lives in West Jackson off Lynch Street was telling me this was some years ago how she used to go walking at 5 o'clock in the morning in Westland Plaza. I said, what? You're not scared to say that? Do they have a police precinct there?
That might be the safe. Cousin Linda, that might be the safest area in the city.
Yeah, I think so, because she was about going walking over there early in the morning, and she said, well, it's well lighted and they have the police over there. I said, I don't care, I ain't going nowhere near
the police academy is right behind there.
Okay, well, maybe that's why she felt safe then,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Cousin Linda. But yeah, Ellis Avenue booming with businesses from 80 on down, but then when you get to Capitol Street, it's a whole other story in the zoo. So they're trying to redo the zoo and everything. But then the mayor did announce that he's getting ready to do a new parkway coming from the highway, Clinton Boulevard, on down Capitol Street. So a revitalization project is beginning. We'll be starting soon. And that brought me to tears because that area was always an important part to my childhood. You know, when we would spend time together, and almost every Saturday, Mom would take us to the zoo, would take me to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and then you talked about the yard. I mean, Georgetown, that area always was just so beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I was telling a friend of mine on the phone this morning, I said, when I lived in Jackson, even if you live in a one-bedroom shotgun rental apartment,
right,
it was nice on the outside. I said people really cared about how their property looked, even though
right,
they were renting.
Right.
And now people have nice houses that they don't take care of. Do you
right,
know there's a refrigerator sitting in the driveway or a car on four cinder blocks in the front yard?
Right.
Weeds growing everywhere. People just don't take any pride in
yeah,
their surroundings.
Because we're working on upgrading and keeping the yard, because Mom loved her yard to be beautiful and doing our best to, you know, to get it back up to par and get the house renovated for, if I'm here or not, you know, making sure that Beverly and I make sure the house is up to par the way Mother wanted it and envisioned it to be, and she wanted to see before she passed. You know, you're right.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, then the neighbors know that, too. You know, because we lost both our neighbors next door, too. And I know that they always loved their yard to be beautiful also. Yeah. And,
yeah,
and they only have a son. Yeah, so they son try also. But, yeah, you're right. But you know what? Friends and I talk about and people that I talk to, the city of Jackson used to care about keeping doing their part, too. When you lived here, Dale Danks administration, we had street cleaners. Sometimes they would stop traffic. When have I seen a street cleaner, a washer, and a sweeper in the clean the streets?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have the flooding that we have if those gutters would stay clean. Because,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's not just for beautification, but it's for to help control flooding, also to keep your gutters clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Jackson was city, and I was very proud
yes,
to be from Jackson, Mississippi. No matter
right,
where I went in the world, I didn't just brag, you know, but people would say, well, where are you from? And I said, Mississippi. Well, what
right,
part, Jackson? And then they'd always have something negative to say, something they had heard. And I said, no, Jackson is not like that at all. And it's
not
no
at
worse
all,
than anywhere else in the United States. You know, the first thing they thought about was Emmett Till or some lynchings. And I
right,
said, you would be surprised how much of that goes on in northern states, which
exactly,
is now just coming out of the closet, being exposed. It's always been this way in the north. And like
right,
Will Smith said, I saw this on Facebook, racism is not new. Racism is just not getting exposed.
Right.
Because
he,
so many people have cameras
from,
now.
And he's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He probably know more
mm-hmm,
about racism than I do. Because I don't,
mm-hmm,
right.
Well, some of the worst, well, I ain't going to say the worst, but I experienced right, racism in Chicago and Detroit. And
oh, my
Southern
God.
California.
My friends that are related to the neighbors next door, that and they their mom was in law enforcement, and they are too. And my friend Carol lives in Houston and Chicago in insurance. But they tell me about how the racism in Chicago is different. It's like segregated. It's like
I was gonna say you're
real
so
subtle,
segregated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about your experience.
I had friends who were from those certain areas. Well, we didn't experience that. We didn't. I said, I guess you didn't, because you only lived around black people. And
right,
in Jackson, my friend, I went to her birthday party yesterday. We were talking about how we lived across the street from white people. Because
right,
I don't know if you remember, but across the street at Highland Garden Apartments, they used to be white. That's
well,
right across the street. And when we used to have to go over to Bailey Avenue, you know, you were going through white neighborhoods, and then there were black people on the other side of Bailey Avenue. It's always been integrated in
right,
Jackson.
Exactly.
You had the blacks confined to the southern part of the city. Dallas was racially segregated. I was very surprised when I moved here. I was not prepared for black people to be just in Oak Cliff and South Dallas
right,
or maybe West Dallas. And then you come here and you got all these white people
and
on the north side of town. Because I
right,
used to be actually glad
and I just became
that
exposed
when I would
to
see
South
a black
to,
person.
I just became exposed as an adult to South Dallas and Oak Cliff. But I mean, in my early years, I was only exposed to the diversity of North Dallas, you know. And so you're
North
right,
Dallas,
that's a whole.
When we moved here,
right,
I think North Dallas was 98% white. And
right.
I'm serious. If I saw a black person, I would start grinning and smiling. I'd be so happy to see one. And my mother
right.
came over to visit. I think we had lived here about 3 years. And when my mother was over here, she was saying, "Darling, where are the black people?" I said, "On the southern side of the city." She was shocked, too.
Right.
I did not know Dallas was racially segregated.
Right.
But it's better now. It's not like Jackson, where you've always had the races mixing with each other. But
right.
It still has its pockets of all-white areas.
To my Jackson or Dallas?
No, Dallas. Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because even Jackson has its area. And people, and even Jackson still have its population, you know. Yeah, in neighborhoods. But, yeah, that, wow. You're right, but one thing Dallas, though, the diversity is just so, it's just so different and so welcoming, too. Yeah, it seems like people
really?
Look at you more, it seems like people look at you more for your character and if you're a good person or not.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
That's my experience of Dallas.
Say,
shout out
to
Dallas. I'm making some people in Texas grin. I know
I still experience some coolness when I go into some businesses.
Wow. And I can't believe you were experiencing the coolness. But think back to Oprah a few years ago. I couldn't believe it when she went in a store and the way they treated her. We're like, what?
Some folks don't care how much money you have. You know, they always try to pretend they didn't know it was Oprah. And I'm like, even if it wasn't Oprah, why are you discriminating against somebody?
Right. And even they know who Michelle Obama is. Even Michelle Obama say they even run into it. Like, what?
Yes. But I was glad to have gone north because for so many years I would listen to my friends and classmates who would go to the north every summer, and they come back talking about how nice it was and there's no discrimination. And when I moved to Dallas, I met these people talking about they hadn't experienced discrimination. I'm like, yes, you have. And the only reason you did it is because you were not exposed to the other race. Y'all were completely in, when you say ghetto, people think of a hood or whatever, but you were in a segregated
right.
area, which is kind of like being in a ghetto.
Right.
Which, you know,
how
ghetto
do you interact and
slump.
React?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, you only
and like,
around people like you.
Right. And Sherman was like Madison, Mississippi when I lived there. And so I didn't experience anything. I can't recall anything. But you would think, I guess some people thought I might have it, but they were asking me about my experiences growing up in Mississippi. And you're right.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I didn't experience anything. Now, a growing city, gang violence, that is something that I can tell you about. I said, but dealing with race, like the racism that they were talking about, like you were saying, the Emmett Till type stuff. I'm like, no, not. I've never seen a Klan in uniform. You know, I have in person. You know, not saying I know they exist, and I know we deal with them every day. But I have not. That's not part of my life. And I would mention I have a cousin that even marched with Mega Evers. And thank God for her and others like her that made it possible for me to have the freedoms that I experienced because I didn't have to deal with segregation. Because of Linda, when you go to events and blacks segregate themselves, that's something that I always notice. Instead of mingling with others, they're getting their own little clique.
That may come from a preconceived notion that if I do try to mingle, I'll be rejected.
Okay,
because
thank you, Cousin Linda.
Yeah,
because for years, since I was a kid, I've always noticed that.
Well, when you experience it, because when I first started working for South Central Bell,
yeah,
when I was an operator, if I would sit beside a white operator, they'd find an excuse to get up and move. They would call because you couldn't just move because you wanted to. They would call a service assistant and come up with some kind of excuse as to why they had to move. And I know it was because I was sitting next to them. You know, I'd be the only black person on the floor.
Like you had a body odor or something.
Yeah, they probably would make up stuff like that or your breath stinks or whatever.
Oh, I was just saying that, but that's a good point. They might have been saying something like that instead of the truth. Oh.
Yeah, because I have a friend that I used to work with. They claimed she had VO, and I said, what's VO? And she said, body odor. As close as we were, I never smelled her. But somebody reported her to me claiming she had body odor. And, you know, we were some of the – I was in that group, that little wave of some of the first black operators that they hired. And I tell you, people were not
very
friendly. But you're
very cultured, and I know you weren't afraid of – anybody.
Oh,
right.
No.
But I see what you're saying. A lot of times people do that. They don't want to experience rejection.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to go somewhere you're not wanted, and I know I certainly don't.
Right. Right.
And so I try to force yourself on somebody. But I don't think it was just that, well, I'm just not going to mingle with them. It has a reason.
Right.
Like
a good
said,
reason, right. No, nobody wants to be where they're not wanted.
Mm-mm. And like if you would sit down with them in the break room, they might get up and move or act like you got the leprosy and they'll catch it.
Mm.
Oh, I mean, when
right.
I first started working at South Central Bell, I called hell. I really did.
Ooh,
and I wasn't.
We need to do the only one.
Huh?
We need to do an episode where we just talk about, like, work experiences and callers call in and talk about their experiences, too. Why? Because a minute times, I bet you was the first in a lot of things with them.
Well, yeah. And,
I bet you was, like,
was
the first.
A few of them. No, I wasn't the first one they had. They may have hired probably, I'll just say, about 10 black people. By the time I got there, because there were four units, and there were three black girls full-time in my unit, but we worked different shifts. And
our episode ended, but it's letting us continue to talk. So we might get interrupted, but we can get on the phone and talk or whatever. But our episode ended, so it's posted. So that was good. Now, next Thursday, we can plan what we will discuss next Thursday and also leave it open for the hot
next
topic.
Thursday,
that happens. I mean next Sunday.
Thursday.
I mean Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then leave it open for our hot topic.
I guess we got too hot for them. I saw naming names. Yeah, it was some races at South Central Vale. Very low down races. Because a friend of mine and I were talking about how those white managers didn't even have high school educations, but yet still they were second and third level managers, and you had operators with college degrees.
And you and your friends graduated, you from Jackson State and for other degrees, and then they just straight off the farm.
It was all nepotism, honey. Husband, wife, sister, brother, neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they resented the fact that you had a little bit what they perceived as more than what they had, because I dressed extremely well, and I was very sophisticated.
I know that.
If I had acted like I was just coming out the cotton patch with some buckwheat in my mouth.
From the projects. And nothing against the projects, but you know, you're right. Yeah.
Now, I think that would have gone over. But anytime you have insecure white people, and if they think you have two pennies more than they have, they resent you. You're a nigga. You just can't have more than I have. That's not fair. That's not even Christian.
And I know one of my friends, like my dear manager, who I'm still friends with now that you see us talking, Sandra Petro, and she was my manager at Metro Center. And I know sometimes she was mentioned that she would mention casually, because she felt she's always been openly gay, and she mentioned to me in the past couple of years that she wanted to start dating men, but she always felt that she could talk to me, and so sometimes she would mention how some black people a lot of black people were doing better than white people. This was in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And she would mention exactly what you know, because she felt she could talk to me about a lot of things, and wow, and she still did to this day. She even shocked me, coming from a middle class family like we're from, and she even shocked me how she would mention how a lot of blacks do better than whites, you know. They used to catch me off guard.
Well, it really bothers them because that's just like,
right.
It's not in the
right.
scheme of things.
And that's exactly what she meant when she was talking to me. Like, how is that? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
How in the world did that happen? This just can't be. No,
right.
God, please, what happened? Niggas
right.
ain't supposed to be doing that
right.
to me.
You know, we're still friends today, but she was so open when she would talk to me like that, like you just said. And I'm like, wow. And I know I would tell Mom, I'm like, guess what Sandra said today? And she shocked us. You know, some blacks, you know, a lot of blacks are doing better off than whites. Man.
Yeah, that
wow.
was mad,
exactly
but...
what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
well,
and that's what you meant when you talk about how they get jealous, and then why are we getting jealous of each other? That's crazy, and killing each other and sabotaging
because,
each other's careers and sabotaging each other's careers and all. That's what I like about Dallas, because I tell Tommy all the time too what they call it, the crabs in the
Crabs in the bucket.
That's Jackson's problem.
That's universal with black people, and that's because we have learned that from white people.
Wow.
We want to be accepted by them.
In your world travels, you see that in the black communities?
Not necessarily, because I don't really see black communities when I travel.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. That's a good point.
Because I pretty much have done, you know, my travel has pretty much been international.
Right.
But it comes from
conditioning. But that tells us something that right there, right.
It comes from conditioning from white people, the way we've been treated. They have taught us to do that in a subtle basis. You know, I don't know if
right.
you're familiar with house nigga, feel nigga.
Right,
the
yeah.
Negroes that are fortunate enough to